Hello there! This show contains material which a truly free society would neither fear nor suppress. The language and concepts contained herein will not cause eternal torment in the place where the guy with the horns and pointed stick conducts his business.
Hello, everyone.
Take two.
No, it's take one.
Yeah, we always do everything on one take.
That's right. We're one take Johnnies, as they say in the industry.
And then we lie about it, even if we don't.
That's right. We are coming to you live and in concert from John's back deck.
Studio BD. It used to be BP. Now it's BD.
BP?
Back porch. Now it's back deck.
British Petroleum. VD? BD? What is it?
No, this is the back porch.
Okay.
As you said before, we were grilling and chilling.
We are grilling and chilling. John did the whole grilling and chilling thing on his barbecue, and we're actually out here. I can still feel the heat off of the BBQ.
Hot potato.
John almost knocked over my wine glass with the hot potato.
I got baked potatoes. Grilled potatoes, actually.
Yeah, so you are going to hear the sounds of summer.
Yep, I'm in.
During this show.
I live under a flight path, too, so we might have some aircraft.
I hear an aircraft right now, actually. Hear it?
Yeah,
the wind, it's up there.
Wind through the trees. It's nice. It's a beautiful day.
It's nice.
Perfect day, actually.
You might actually hear birds and other sorts of wildlife.
Trees.
No. Oh, wait, that's an aircraft siren. Never mind. Wait, if this were 60 years ago, that might have been a sound you would have heard had you heard those propellers.
That's right. Daivama. Did you see that movie? I can't remember what it was. Tora, 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 I think it was.
Well, that's a classic. That's the Pearl Harbor film.
Yeah. Dive bomba, dive bomba. That was what they did. They made the Japanese look like morons, so they were standing on their deck going, dive bomba, waving their hands.
Yeah, well, you know, it was a very American-centric film. You know, it kicked up the patriotic furor.
You said Führer?
Well, and that's the other theater of the war entirely. You know, just as a warning, I just want to mention the fact that John has a neighbor who's like obsessive compulsively mowing his lawn.
Stop.
No, so you might hear a lawnmower start up, and I guess we're going to have to drudge right through it if he does.
Yeah. It's the sounds of summer, and one of the sounds is mowing of lawns and whacking of weeds, as they say.
Whacking of weeds. You know, that'll make you go blind.
No comment.
And actually, we talked about that guy last summer because I think we were recording in your basement and you could hear lawn mowing in the distance, and we were kind of making fun of the guy then because it was like 9 p.m. and we were recording a show.
No. You know what I found out what it was?
It was a guy mowing the lawn.
No, there were people were selling a house like several houses away, and they were trying to get the backyard and everything manicured before they were showing the house the next day.
Yeah, but this guy is the mower. He mows every Saturday at this hour.
Well, and then everyone mows every Saturday at every hour.
Sometimes some people mow on Sunday mornings. Some people mow on Wednesday evenings. We record now on Saturdays.
And like me, I mow every 3 weeks.
Well, actually, we should take a picture of this yard because it looks like you never mow.
I try not to.
The guys on the left down the hill there clearly mow. And the people on the right of John, at least from my perspective, they got all kinds of weeds going back there. Holy cow.
Well, you know, I'm into the nature thing, and I like to let things be. I like wildflowers.
John's got an ant hill back here of stinging red ants.
No, but I did kill that pile of yellow jackets or hornets or whatever they were that were attacking me. Remember that?
I do remember that, and I see the nest of African killer bees off in the distance. They're about to swarm.
Africanized.
They're going to swarm at any minute and kill us both.
You know, if we help and pray, maybe we'll get a few 12 stings.
You know, I've got a bowling alley report.
Another one burned down?
No, but they haven't torn that one down yet. It's sitting in this...
Smoldering?
Well, no, it's not smoldering. It's done smoldering, but all of the rent and bent and twisted steel is still there, and they haven't done any put any effort into tearing it down. You know, they've got the police line, do not cross tape all around it, and, you know, unsafe and all that. So
you should get your camera out there and take some pictures of the twisted steel.
If it's still there next week, I'll do my best to remember.
That would be awesome. I like industrial detritus.
So Paris, back in jail. We haven't really talked about the Paris.
You know what? I'm almost like a psychic. What did I say about Paris Hilton? In our New Year's show, I said I'm making some predictions.
You said she's famous for being famous.
And I said that she's going to have some event where she's going to be covered in the news.
She's covered in prison garb right now, actually.
Yeah, if you're not watching or following the Paris Hilton saga, I find it mildly amusing, to say the least, because this is a person who has all of the material wealth that a human being could possibly have in this world.
Or want. She's not Bill Gates, so she's not as rich as Bill, so there is more to be had. But
true, but
she has anything anybody could possibly need to live what one would think would be a prosperous and happy life.
Well, apparently, you know, money doesn't buy happiness.
But to quote Steve Martin,
No, she was... To get people up to speed here,
didn't want to talk about this. I just kind of wanted to mention that she was back in jail.
I think it's amazing. I think it's great because she was picked up for drunk driving.
Yeah, and she violated...
She had her license taken away from her.
She was on probation a couple times. She violated that twice.
And she had her license taken away from her, so then they caught her drunk driving again without a license.
What was that, their license to be fabulous? What license did they take exactly?
Right. So she was sentenced to something like 45 days in jail for a probation violation. And then
that could be a show. Probation violation.
It's a video game.
It could be all Paris Hilton.
It's a video game where you're chased by cops.
There's
and
a
stuff.
Little ant on the deck here.
Step on it.
We're amidst nature. Some of the guys doing a little hammering, a little deck repair back there.
Yeah. So Paris Hilton was dragged into... She was dragged into court. She was booked, fingerprinted. She had her picture taken.
Dano was there and everything.
She had her... I think she brought her own headshot for the mugshot instead.
She did, yeah.
And then she was put in jail for a few days, and apparently she had a nervous breakdown, and
she was crying.
The sheriff said... Poor Paris. She probably gave him like $1 million and said, here, I'll give you $1 million.
That's not what she gave him.
I'd rather have the money. She probably gave him $1 million and said, here, I'll give you all this money if you just let me go home. So the sheriff said, okay, you can do the rest of your sentence under house arrest.
By your pool.
Under house arrest.
At poolside.
You know, for most people, under house arrest means you're staying within maybe 2,000 square feet.
And you've got an iron ball shackled to your ankle.
Now, for Paris Hilton, house arrest is a 400-acre estate. Yeah, tough life.
How many acres you got here? This must be at least 350.
I think I've got about 3/4 of an acre.
That might be, actually.
And then what happened was the judge caught wind of her doing the house arrest thing.
Here comes the judge.
And the judge said, no. She's going back to jail because I never said she can do house arrest. I said specifically she has to do it in the slammer.
Yeah, I actually saw the order on television, and it's specifically said by the judge, you know, no electronic, you know, ankle bracelet. No, it has to be done. You know, I don't know. Maybe because she's Paris Hilton, they wanted to make an example of her, or maybe not. I don't know what other people get for two probation violations and all of these, you know, these...
She's a recidivist.
I don't know what the normal sentencing would be for someone in California who breaks the 3 or 4 laws that she broke. But at the end of the day, if it is warranted that she should go to jail, I mean, you did the crime, you got to do the time.
And it's not like she was being put in there for like 5 to 10.
You know,
she was put in there for 45 days. It's a month vacation.
It's going to be 21 or 23. That's what her sentence ended up being. And as far as I'm concerned, they should put a camera in there and hook her up with Marge. I mean, she could make another video, you know?
Right. You know, she's probably going to capitalize off of this.
Yeah, well... I don't know. I mean,
I think she should have gone to jail just because of the fact that she wrecked a Ferrari.
At the end of the day, she has no idea what it's like to be, you know, a normal person. So this will introduce her to, you know, the concept of normality, you know, the middle class, the upper middle class, whatever, you know.
I don't think so.
Well, we'll find out, you know. We'll see what happens to her, how emotionally traumatized she is at the end of these 21 days.
No, you know what this is going to do?
And I so did not want to talk about Paris. Let's talk about Anna Nicole instead. Oh, she's dead. Never mind.
All this is going to do is up her prescriptions. That's what it's going to do.
Well, I'm sure there was no lack of prescriptions for her anyway.
Well, geez. Well, she looked fetching in her garb.
Yes, she did. So do you want to... Do you want to play a tune, or do you got anything else for the intro?
I got nothing.
All right, let's check it out. Let's play another tune. Yeah.
You know, we have a visitor.
We got all kinds of visitors. There was a Mr. Squirrel over there and Mr. Squirrel over there.
It's a Squiddle.
Squiddle. So that song is so not totally pod safe that it's not even funny.
I'm aghast at how unfunny it is.
That song is called Three Sheets to the Wind by one Mr. Alan Q. Holdsworth.
Esquire.
The third. He's one of my favorite guitarists in the world, and I actually emailed his management company to ask if we could play his music. And about 10 days later, I got an email at about 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning from Alan Holdsworth Management Agency, and he said, yes, Alan wouldn't mind you playing his music. And we just, you know, he just wanted us to kind of link to his blog and to what kinds of cool stuff. I think his website is therealalanholdsworth.com.
Because there's all sorts of pretenders out there.
Well, there's somebody who was trying to domain squat and they wanted to sell it to him. So, you know, A-L-L-A-N, it's Alan Holdsworth. And he's simply one of the best fusion guitarists on the planet. I've had the good fortune of meeting him at a few music trade shows. I had him sign a picture for me and my friend, Mr. Mike Robinson.
Rich is a stalker. He's outside of Holdsworth's offices every Thursday.
I am. So that song, again, not pod safe. You would have to ask Mr. Holdsworth yourself to play that. But I'm like so stoked because, I don't know, it was about a year ago that John and I were debating the idea of playing music from bands that we like without asking. And I was fervently against it.
We're going to do it. Don't worry.
We're not going to do it, I don't think. And anyway, you know what? If you ask, sometimes good things come to those who ask. It's not like Mr. Holdsworth is getting a lot of airplay on the radio anyway.
Well, you know what we should do?
We should ask
Metallica if they'd be into it. Can we get humming permissions for Metallica?
Yeah, I'm sure Lars Ulrich would love to have us play their music. They're getting no lack of airplay on all the K-Rocks of the world, you know?
I hear that Metallica has no problem whatsoever with this whole internet sharing thing.
No, they love Napster.
They're Napaholics.
So, yeah, I think it's therealalanholdsworth.com. We'll definitely link to it from the BLOG, from the Bloody Veg, from the BVBLOG, the blog.
You're just making words up. Yeah, that's great stuff, and I am familiar with Holdsworth from UK, which is one of my favorite progressive rock bands that, well, doesn't really exist anymore, only in my imagination.
Late 70s.
Yeah, and Bill Bruford, great drummer, was part of that.
This particular CD that came off of is called Road Games, and that is the CD that introduced me, I think. It was around that time that I discovered UK and Alan Holdsworth, probably at the same time, concurrently. And this CD has a pretty interesting story. It was originally released as a vinyl record in 83. It was an EP. It had six songs on it. It was not an LP, but an extended play.
Remember those flat things with the grooves cut in them?
An EP with grooves, yeah, made of vinyl. And apparently Alan Holdsworth, I mean, Eddie Van Halen, we've all heard of him. He had discovered and seen Alan Holdsworth play live and went, dude, wow, this guy's the bomb. So he introduced Alan Holdsworth to who was Van Halen's producer at the time, a guy by the name of Ted Templeman. And next thing you know, on Warner Brothers, which was Van Halen's label at the time, suddenly Alan Holdsworth had a record on Van Halen. And this is my favorite Alan Holdsworth record, and it didn't get released on CD till about a year, year and a half ago. I believe Warner Brothers sold the master tapes to Alan, and he was finally able to release it on his label, which I think is called Gnarly Records or something like that.
And then I think there was a part of this whole situation where Eddie Van Halen introduced Holdsworth to Valerie Bertinelli, and then he had this cameo role as the superintendent on One Day at a Time.
That's right.
He played Schneider for, I think, one season.
Schnoozer. Schnauzer.
He walked around with a guitar and a hammer and a tool belt.
And that's appropriate because there's a technique on guitar called hammer-ons. So, you know, it's only appropriate that Schneider would have a hammer and a pack of smokes rolled up under his sleeve in that sort of 50s-esque style.
What would he carry around in his tool belt to manage a pull-off?
Let me think about that. Why duct tape, of course.
Of course.
I have no idea. It's another airplane that goes overhead.
So what did you want to talk about today? You said something about in fishing.
Yeah. Wow, listen to that bad boy. That is an air raid run right there. Man, you are right in the shipping lanes over here, except, you know, not the sea shipping lanes, the air shipping lanes.
That's right. Every once in a while, like, they'll drop shipments. I see
little
parachutes, boxes.
Yeah. Yep.
I get all my rice that way.
Well, you know, I had no idea what we were going to talk about today, which is usually the case. That's our MO.
Until 15 minutes prior.
Yeah, and, you know, something has been bothering me for a couple of years, and it's the concept of creativity. We haven't talked about something.
Oh, that was Jokic.
Yeah, well, you know, they got to spray for that. And for the feet, too.
Your feet are in your jock? What?
I don't know. Alan Holdsworth, who knows?
Okay. So anyways.
And, a couple of years ago, I remember a friend of mine. Her daughter was doing a report for school, and she suddenly started doing, like, every other word in a different color, right, on the word processor.
Ah, she was bored.
Yeah, she was bored, and she was actually going to hand in the report that way. And I said, why would you want to hand in a report like that? A word, you know, every other word is a different color. And it made it really scary because every once in a while there'd be a white word and then the sentence would lose, you'd lose continuity. And
see, now that's pretty cool. That's almost like performance art.
I guess it is, as John unwraps the tater. He's got an aluminum foil on the tater.
More sounds of summer. I'm just smelling the tater.
I love the red potatoes, man. They are the bomb. You know, I love them so much. Here, John, talk for a minute.
Yeah, so Rich was, I don't even know what he was talking about. Rich was biting a potato.
Took a bite out of that tater.
So anyways, go on.
So she did, like, every word in a different color. And it's sort of like Iron Chef. You know how the chairman bites the yellow pepper?
No, that's right.
Yeah. So anyway, she was doing a word in a different color. And my friend, Elisa, said to me, I said, well, why would you do that, you know? Just do it in black. Most people hand reports on white paper with black lettering. Call me weird, but most people hand in their book reports that way.
It's the new black.
So my friend Lisa said to me, well, don't stifle her creativity. And my initial response to that was, well, first I vomited, right? There was a heave, the diaphragm, you know, and there was a heave. I dry heaved a few times and then some fluid came up. Didn't taste good.
That wasn't fluid.
It was a solid.
That was your gallbladder.
That was my intestines. It was a whole celiac thing. So anyway, you know, and then the question of what is creativity popped into my mind, because I don't see doing a report that has nothing to say and then changing all of the colors of the letters and the words, different colors, and then calling that creative. To me, that's not creative. And John, you know, alluded to me in an email that we are going to have a philosophical difference on the word creativity, but I'm not sure we are, because, you know, we're exploring this for the first time together right now, live.
Live. On tape. No, what Rich was saying in his email was, he also mentioned a case of using a Photoshop filter.
Mm.
So you take a standard Photoshop filter, apply it to a photograph, and he says he doesn't think that's creative.
Well, wait a minute. Let me eat your potato.
Swallow the potato and I'll finish. So my disagreement stems from the fact that I don't think that creativity is in the action or the effort that is put into something. I think creativity is in the result and the effect that you get.
Okay, fine. I'm not going to disagree with that, you know, philosophically or fundamentally. Absa-smurfly, baby. You know what I'm saying? Hey, wait, what are we drinking today? This is like our 2-year anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
How could you forget that?
I should put some music on there. Happy
anniversary. Baby, no. Got you on my
MP3 player. Black Chuck. This is the Black Chuck. It's the
why
Black
you,
Chuck.
Why are you dogging the African Americans with that name, man?
It's the African American Chuck.
Yeah, this wine is called the Black Chuck, and to me it almost sounds like a racial slur. I felt so uncomfortable buying it, you know?
Well, you did have to buy it in an alley. You had to get a license for it, too.
He opened up an overcoat and said, want to buy a bottle of wine?
He also lost his radio show for buying this.
Yeah, I did.
This is from South Australia. It's a blend, but it's an odd blend. It's 2005 Shiraz.
Mmm, yum.
95% Shiraz and 5% Viognier.
Which means vintner, actually, is a funny name for a grape.
But I'm wondering why put 5% in there.
Why even bother? Just go with the Shiraz.
I mean, Shiraz is big time, and anything else you put in there, heck, you can put Ripple in there, and it's going to still taste like Shiraz.
At that point, yeah.
Well, vodka even.
Yeah, so creativity, right? We've actually played some songs by this artist, and John and I both, when we saw the album cover, said, oh, that's one of the filters that comes with Photoshop. That's one of the stock plugins.
It's one of the finest filters in Photoshop.
Which one? What? Do you know what that one was called? Do you remember the one I'm talking about? I'm not going to say which artist it was, but...
I think it was like Find Edges or something where it highlights the edges.
With a solid color almost.
It looks like neon.
Yeah, it gives you a neon effect. And this has been one of the plugins, the filters that Photoshop has come with since day one, since version 0.9 of Photoshop.
From 1994 or something.
The GIMP
like
comes
that.
With it, which is the Unix Linux photo tool. And, mm-hmm. you know, to me, taking an image, you know, taking a photograph straight out of somebody's digital camera and applying this filter and then making it an album cover, to me, that's not creative. I don't know.
I disagree.
Well... Please amplify that thought.
Well, like I said, I think it's the effect. If you're doing
it
because...
The effect is a stock Photoshop plugin that anybody who has pirated or purchased Photoshop can do.
Can I speak?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. The effect...
Diturgent. Stop fondling the microphone.
The effect is what matters, and the intent is what matters. I think creativity has everything to do with the intent... The message, and I know you're going to throw in a McLuhan thing here. The message, and your conveyance of the message.
Yeah, but what about bitter almonds?
That's right. So if the concept had something to do with some sort of neon glow, and he applied a neon glow filter, and it worked, and it was in the theme or in. I don't know, enhancing the theme of this neon glow theme. Then sure. But
I got a feeling.
But just randomly saying, oh, this looks cool.
Yeah.
That's not creative.
I've got a feeling that's what happened. I don't know. Here, let's hit John off with a little more wine. I mean, I don't know the artist who did the album artwork, but I do know the artist, the guitarist whose music we've played. I don't know. You know, it gets me into the mind of the current state of audio engineering. I mean, I can sort of talk about this. Kind of from an audio perspective, because you're kind of a visual guy and a fine arts sort
of... I do appear up on film.
You do, I do too, but you're kind of the fine arts guy. You know, you're kind of the guy who works with the pastels and the pencils and the charcoal and all that good stuff.
Hammers. Knives. Generally, I'm working on grills.
John's grilling and chilling. You know, I'm kind of an audio guy. I'm a musician and I'm a, you know, for lack of a better word, producer. And a recording engineer.
Excuse me, is that a mixer in your hand?
And so I can sort of talk from a music perspective. But, you know, and for me, something that's creative, first of all, creative for me needs to be original, right? It has to be something I haven't seen to be truly creative. Because at this point in time, we've pretty much seen it all. And for me, when I hear a piece of music that is so unlike something I haven't heard before, boom, creative. You know, that's the little... The little light that goes, the little light bulb goes off above my head. And I say, that's creative. Why? Because I've never heard anything in my 40 years of existence on this green earth that sounded like that before. Well, now that record cover with the little edge filter blur neon thingy, you know what? I could go home and do that in 5 minutes with the GIMP, which is the Unix Linux kind of, you know, free clone of Photoshop. I'm sure it's pirated code and everything. But
again, you're equating time and effort with creativity.
I'm not creating time and effort. I'm creating lack of effort with creativity, actually. Yeah.
Well, that's
anybody
what I'm
in the
I'm
world
saying.
Who has Photoshop can apply that filter. That's my point.
Right, but if they use it poorly or randomly,
well,
even better.
If all you're doing is taking a tool which you may or may not know how to use and applying one of the Gaussian blur, you know, that's another
one. I love
one
that
of the,
one. That's one of my favorites.
That's another one of the stock Photoshop filters, you know.
You know why I use that one?
Because you want to blur the Gauss.
No, so I can take my glasses off and everything looks perfect.
Well, you're blind as a bat.
They're not very blind. They can see perfectly.
It's the sonar. I don't know. You know, I'm not impressed by somebody taking a... Oh, there's a rabbit. There's a gray rabbit. Look at him. Do you see him?
They taste yummy.
They're yummy. John, it is so cool doing the show out here. We actually intended to do some of these shows last summer, but it was kind of a wet summer, a rainy summer.
Yeah, it was cold, too.
And I actually bought the little foam windscreens. Here, listen. I bought the foam windscreens for these condenser mics so that the wind wouldn't make the noise in the microphone.
These microphones look like a guy wearing an afro.
It's like a mic condom.
Yeah, and if you take these out, you could put them in someone's face and say, what did you think about that fight?
Exactly.
What were you thinking in the fourth round when you got punched in the jaw?
The sweet science. What were you thinking when your ear got bit off?
I don't know.
And
it
John,
was really strong.
There's lots of pollen floating through the air, and there are rabbits and squirrels, and I see a cheetah, actually, off in the woods.
That's a Yeti. It's not a cheetah.
So I don't know. You know, I really need for you, I need for you to defend for me a person who has no idea what they're doing and applies one Photoshop filter to a digital camera photo that got emailed to them, and then suddenly it's album artwork. I don't know.
Well, I think that it's unfortunate that the lack of effort also is coupled with the lack of idea. The lack of effort and the lack of... And you know what? I would be willing to guess that this person didn't have a whole lot of experience, and they probably spent 4 hours using that filter until they got it just right. You know? So we can't say that lack of time was on that, but
I'm
think that lack of effort...
they used the default settings. They used everything default.
It's probably the third time they used Photoshop.
And they just installed it. Who are you kidding?
No, but I think that you could take the stock filters and do quite a bit with them and be very creative. Well, it's the whole postmodern thing. The postmodern thing is there is no such thing as originality anymore. It's just the combination and recombination of things that are already done and original.
So you're a combinatrix? A dominatrix?
And that in and of itself is creative and original.
Well, you know, anytime you create something, I mean, in the purest form of the word, anytime you've created something, you've been creative, right? I guess, right?
Right. I mean, to go back to your friend's daughter's experience there, and you said, and she was saying, don't stifle her creativity. I'm going to defend that too, because, you know, you sitting around noodling on a guitar, you might be just coming up with ideas, playing around. Of course, you're not going to be turning them in as your report, but. You know,
they may or may not make the record.
You're exploring new sounds, and you might come up with something new. And she was probably doing the same thing.
No, I got the record because I fit the suit.
What color is it?
It was sort of a blue, you know, sort of an aqua blue kind of. What's the phrase? What's that pattern called?
Mauve?
No. It's
paisley.
It's paisley. Yeah, it was sort of a paisley blue. Yeah, you fit the suit. Johnny Bravo, not the MTV animated series.
Right. So, anyways, I certainly think that creativity is a wider definition than what you're talking about, and I think that you and quite a few people have a tendency to think that the creativity has something to do with effort. People will go to let me finish this. People will go to a museum and they'll see a Jackson Pollock and say, "Oh, I can splatter paint. Why is that such a big deal?" Or they'll go and see a Mark Rothko, which is two blurred colors in a square pattern. Oh, that's lame. That would have taken me 15 minutes to do.
Yeah, but nobody had done what Pollock did.
There are people doing something similar, but nothing exactly like he did.
Yeah, and he kind of, you know, he brought that to the fore.
You're like smart.
Well, okay. You know what? I'm actually going to use you as an example here.
Oh, great. You're going to make an example of me?
I am going to make
me in jail for 45 days?
No, because then you're going to whine and cry and get out.
Am I under house arrest now?
By your pool. You could, you know, a pool would fit really nicely back here, by the way. You got to pull up that stump over there.
I ain't putting no pool back here.
I'm telling you, it would look good back here. And you know what? Even more importantly, I would look good in that pool.
I'll sell you the house. I'm going to put it on the market.
I'm going to use you as an example. You know, I've asked you on previous occasions, and you didn't refuse. You elegantly said yes, or I don't even know what word I'm looking for. But I needed a few business cards, and John did some. And I kind of threw an idea out at him for one of them. I said, Art Deco. I want this card to scream Art Deco. And then
on the card, I have this word Art Deco with an exclamation point.
And there was a drawing of the Empire State Building and the Golden Gate Bridge.
No, I actually looked in the phone book for a guy named Arthur Deco, and I took a picture of him.
Yeah.
Of him screaming.
And then Wowbagger the Infinitely Prolonged came down. Art Dent. No, so, you know, John does these business card designs for me, and every time he does one, I go, wow, that's really cool. I mean, that doesn't look like any run-of-the-mill business card I've ever seen, and I go, boom, bam, that's it. That's the shiznit right there.
Still waiting for payment, but it's okay.
Yeah. And it's original. For me, original has to go along with creative for something to be creative. I guess that's what I'm saying here.
Yeah, but the thing is, think about what I've done with those cards. I didn't make up the font that was on there.
No, it's very Art Nouveau.
I reused them. No, actually it was Deco. Art Nouveau is totally different.
Dead silence.
I'm waiting for you to swallow. Art Deco. I was using an Art Deco font. That wasn't the font that I created.
No, I understand that.
I recombined and I maybe chose some colors.
Again, with the combinatrix.
That's exactly what it was. So I was just, you know, pushing stuff around, making the feel of Art Deco, but I wasn't creating anything brand new.
Well, I've never seen a card that looks exactly like my business cards before.
Well, I mean, we can go into the absurd and say, you know, every single moment is different from every other moment.
Well, I guess what it boils down to is...
What you're saying is, I don't like it, so therefore it's not creative.
No, that's actually not what I'm saying at all. But for me, it's very original, and it's about the aesthetic. You know what I mean? I really trust your sense of aesthetics. And, you know, when you do some design, everything from that really silly sort of prison tattoo artwork we submitted to Libsyn, which never got posted, which was way better than anything else, you know, to my business cards. And 20 years ago, you did these posters for me that were for our chess club. I had never seen anything that really looked like that before. So for me, that was original. Therefore, it was creative.
I'm still struggling with this term original.
If it's original, I think it has to be creative. But if it's creative, is it original?
But, well...
For you, it can be creative and not original, yeah?
Exactly. And And the thing is, I'm even arguing that anything that I've ever done is even original.
Well, that's for philosophers and priests to decide, you know? I mean...
I've currently got something, you know, in the works with the Pope. He's going to let me know if my work is original. But until then, I'm saying it's not.
What's he going to let you paint a church or something? What's that about?
No, you said it for priests to decide, and I'm just going to the top. I'm not going to mess around with any local authorities.
Well, I know, but is he going to let you paint a church?
No, he's just going to decree it's original.
Well, I guess you can't argue with
the Pope. Papal decree is like, you know, the tops, sister.
Well, unless you're the Godfather. You know, he's actually over the Pope in terms of...
Well, as far as he's concerned.
The hierarchy and seniority.
Well, you know, the Godfather.
I never met him. I hear he's a nice guy, you know. Speaking of the Godfather, there's a film coming up at Munson next week, which you either should star in, or have something to do with, I'm sure. It's called Mafioso.
Back to those stereotypes.
What stereotypes?
You know, someone asked me that. Actually, several people have asked me that.
Are you in the mob?
When I was in college, I think it was my freshman year of college.
I think you've told this story.
I think I have. Yeah. On this show?
I think you've told the story on this show.
People have asked me that.
Not on this show.
People have asked me.
On the show.
The show. People have asked me that, and it's irksome. It's kind of humorous to think how naive people are, that anyone's Italian, they got to be associated with the mob.
Well, let me tell a story. You know, we haven't heard Lawnmower Man start up his mower, but earlier in the day, I was suggesting just jokingly that I might, you know, be able to take him out with a sniping rifle, and then John gave me one. So, you know, I don't know. You draw your own conclusions.
I'm not going to confirm or deny that happened. But if I did, it's completely legal.
You remember in the Soprano household, they had that like hidden cabinet that had the rifle in there?
Yeah, like an AK-47.
Yeah. There was when the bear kept showing up in their yard, and Tony was really pissed off because some woman had like denied him.
Right.
You know? And then he was waiting in the yard. He pulled out that rifle, and he was waiting for that bear to come because he wanted to just blow it away, but it never showed up.
That would have been a shame.
Yeah, we like bears. So anyway, I don't know. What is creativity? I don't think we've solved anything here. You know, I was hoping you would be able to straighten it out.
I have a huge liberal definition of creativity, and you're just a narrow-minded fool.
That may be the answer. I think it may be the answer. But
and the last thing I want to hear is that, well, creativity is whatever you think it is, because I think that's a load of crock, too, or crock a load.
Well, it just reminds me of so many people who say, I don't know what art is, but I know what I like.
Well, those are the people who say, you know what? You're an artist. My cousin's an artist. He makes toothpick sculptures, sells them at the county fair.
You remember the popsicle stick cabins you could make? Those were great.
My kids are making those.
I don't know. You want to play another tune? I say everyone out there who thinks they know what art is, email us at feedback@bloodyveg.com.
And you'll get a quarter.
And, you know, if you have some artwork you want to email us, that's fine, too.
We're getting links to good artwork.
As long as it's not sculpture and you're going to mail us, like, a statue or something.
As long as it's not ticking when you ship it to us.
That's right. So you want to play another tune?
Yep, here it is.
All right, let's check it out. he hopes he dies
before you do.
All I know is George Harrison called. He wants his guitar solo back.
You see, now you're going to say that wasn't creative because he was paying homage to the George Harrison sound.
I don't have a problem with that, but I mean, you know, show me something new. I mean, for me, music is about new ideas. I'm not going to deny it. You know, it doesn't mean I listen to a lot of stuff that's sort of reminiscent of other things. I mean, my entire record collection isn't Alan Holdsworth and Gentle Giant, you know?
It's Gentle Holdsworth.
Yeah,
or Alan Giant.
Steve Morse, actually one of my favorite guitarists in the world, and the guy I'm going to pitch next about playing music on the show. In fact, you've seen him in concert with me. Mm-hmm. We were together at that little blues club by the Dome in Syracuse.
I think everything he did was pretty derivative.
I'm not going to deny that. I mean, he actually has released these records in the past few years where, like, every song is written in the style of one of the artists he loves growing up. He has a song that's like totally Cream. He has a song that's really Led Zeppelin. He has a song that's The Birds, Roger McGuinn and The Birds. He has a song that's very George Harrison or Beatles-esque. He has a prog rock song, which is kind of Kansas meets Yes, you know. He has a little Rush meets Jeff Beck kind of tune. And they're great records. They're one of the better. They're some of my favorite Steve Morse records.
Which Photoshop filter did he use for the cover?
I actually don't remember what's on the cover of those records, but they're really cool.
Well, I haven't heard it, and I think that I should get my hands on that, because I think that if he's creative in his usage of those homages, is that a word, homages?
I mean, if you can take the style of the Beatles and extend it, to me, that would then be creative.
Yeah. Well, and I think that that's perfectly fair. More
oh,
planes.
No, wait, another air raid.
I was telling Rich this before, but it's really cool. There's an F-16 squadron that's based out of the Syracuse airport.
It's a reserve squadron, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's an Air Force Reserve squadron, and they actually served in the Gulf, but they practiced
the Gulf of Mexico. It's Gulf. Just something else. It's you know, girls gone wild is what John's talking about.
No, the Gulf War, both of them, one and two. And they'll do maneuvers and practice and formation and stuff. And every once in a while, you'll see these three sharp-looking gray things go blasting by. They're pretty amazing what they can do.
So, you know, I saw a film at the MWBA.org.
As you are wont to do on occasion.
Yeah, and you know what? It had the dude from the X-Files.
The smoking man?
I don't know. David Duchovny?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the red-haired dude.
I never watched it, so I only know.
Oh, I thought you did.
No, I was not an X-Files fan. So it had Duchovny in it, and it had, like, the chick from Ghostbusters.
Gina Davis?
No, that would be Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, Earl Weaver's daughter?
Who I believe has a cabin in the Adirondacks, and my friends have seen in Old Forge.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's odd looking.
Well, it's original.
She looks exactly like her parents.
I don't know. But anyway, I saw a film called The TV Set, and this is directed by Jake Kasdan, who I believe is Lawrence Kasdan's son. I think it's his freshman effort.
Yeah, I think he's copying which director?
Lawrence Kasdan. Sorry. It's a 2006 film, United States, rated R.
He's copying another film, which is rated R.
87 minutes.
Many films are 87
minutes. And actually, speaking of copying,
how original is this?
It reminded me of the last Christopher Guest film.
And he copies pretty much everything.
And what
Dog
was that,
shows.
What was that film called?
Heavy Metal People.
What was that film called?
For your consideration.
For Your Consideration. And that film was about a guy who's making a movie and has to make compromises with the studio to actually get his film released. This is about a guy played by David Duchovny who has come up with this creative TV series, and the TV series revolves around, and he's pitched it to the network, and the network executive is Sigourney Weaver. So he's pitched it to the network, and the very premise upon which the plot is based is the fact that one of the character, the main character's brother, commits suicide, and the entire series goes forth from the moment when the person commits suicide.
Okay. I'm waiting. Tell me more.
Tell
I haven't
me
seen
more.
This film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know,
it sounds pretty derivative to me. So.
And I just want to say that David Duchovny in a beard looks very much like John Ritter, by the way, in a beard.
You mean he looks like John Ritter, period, or he looks like John Ritter when John Ritter had a beard?
When John Ritter had a beard. In fact, at first I thought, is this John Ritter? But John Ritter's deceased.
He is.
Yeah, he is. Anyway, so this show is, and the great thing about Duchovny's character is he's very sensitive. You know, he seems to be talented. He seems to be a talented writer, and he's trying to get this pilot bought. You know, he wants the network to go forward with it and actually mm-hmm. release it as a fall show. And the movie is all about the kind of compromises he has to make with the network executives to get it on the air. But at the same time, he's a very stubborn man, and he doesn't want to compromise his vision, you know?
It was probably not very original.
It wasn't very creative. No, it was creative. In fact, the people were kind of comparing it to different TV shows that actually existed, and they were comparing it to Northern Exposure, which is one of my favorite normal television shows of all time.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that it was about this guy who lives with these two girls, and he was able to live there and get away with it because he said he was gay.
Yeah, and Norman Fell's the landlord. So Sigourney Weaver is constantly sort of pressuring him to water down his original theme, you know? Like, can't we do without the suicide of the brother? It's very depressing, you know? And, of course, that's the very foundation upon which the theme, the concept of the series is based. And ultimately, he ends up getting... Well, I don't know. Should I share this or not?
You've already started.
I know. I should. Yeah, he has to make these compromises because he has a pregnant wife played by Justine Bateman. I didn't even recognize her. What's up with that?
Looks like Jason Bateman's
sister. Yeah. And he has to, and not only does the network pervert, contort, whatever word you want to use, his show into something that his original vision didn't really, what's the word I want? The original vision had nothing to do with what the network eventually did. They turned it from a drama into a comedy, you know?
Laugh tracks and all.
Yeah, when they showed the coming this fall on the Panda, it was like PDN was the network, they added laugh tracks and like fart noises, so it actually went from a drama to a dramedy or a comedy or something. I don't know.
I think that they would be great if they turned all of the America's Funniest Home Videos into drama. You know, where someone gets whacked in the nuts instead of having like the boing sound.
He said nuts, dude.
No, it's a guy carrying a bag of salted peanuts and he gets whacked in the bag. Anyway, so if they had some sort of
dramedy
aspect to it, yeah, where they turned it into some Greek tragedy. Because I think getting, you know, smacked in the man babies there, I think it would hurt.
So, I mean, I guess I think of this film very much. It was funny at times, but at times the film I found it a little bit superficial. But that's only because, guess what? These network executives are superficial, you know? It's too much like this show, so we can't do it. It's not enough like this show, so we can't do it. You know, they're trying to water it down into something that America can digest, you know? And
Paris
to me,
Hilton.
That sucks. Yeah. Is Paris Hilton in it? No. Sorry. Canceled, you know?
That's hot.
So it kind of reminded me of For Your Consideration very much. So I at the time when I reviewed that, I called it Minor Guest. So for me, this film was kind of like Minor Kasdan. And as I said, Jake Kasdan, I believe it was his frosh effort.
Well, he was a Minor Kasdan. He was the Kasdan budding process.
I have no idea what that means, but I liked it.
It's a little piece of Kasdan.
It was funny at times. I can give it a marginal thumb, as they say on the TV
show.
You
give it a ring finger?
Oh, don't even go there, dude.
I didn't bring it up.
Yeah, you did. So anyway, I don't know. I think that's a show. What do you think?
I believe there's a show in there.
Is that a show? I don't know. Oh, it's official now. There's no stopping it. So actually, that was a Jake Kasdan film, 2006, United States, rated R, 87 minutes.
That's hot.
Check us out on the web. It's hot. www.bloodyveg.com/hot.
Our website's hot. Send us feedback. Hot stuff at bloodyveg.com.
Check out our hot forum. It's www.bloodyveg/forum. And, you know, there's a lot of hot stuff on there, man.
There is.
That rabbit over there is hot.
It's like rabbity.
Anyway,
it's hot.
I'm going to make a little stew, a little hot stew. Anyway, check us out next week. Hopefully you had a good time. And remember, you're listening to the VIB.